We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, everybody? Welcome into your Monday, April 8th edition of the OBR Film Breakdown. I'm here with Andrew Spade, as we always are. Jake Burns, what's happening, everybody? Hopefully you are well on this Monday. It is Andrew, it's a solar eclipse Monday here. Do you have any grand plans of like flying to Ohio to make this like a part of your, because I hear this isn't going to happen in Ohio again, or at least along these two pathways until like 2099. Talking about very rare, buddy.
Which is one that I hope to be around for, but I'm not. Probably not going to hold my breath for. I did have plans, and I wasn't going to go to Ohio. I was going to go to southeastern Missouri.
Okay.
But
how far is that from you?
Like seven-ish hours, something like that. Okay. So a little further, but better chance of having clear weather as of a few weeks ago. But those plans got canceled because I'm in the process of moving from one place to another this month, and so there's just not. Just frankly not time, and I didn't have time to get it. The other thing that was people were talking about is like, be prepared to be in traffic for hours after the eclipse.
Hot and topic so, this house. Hot topic.
Is that right? Yeah. So my concern was being 7 hours away from home, and I don't really have time to take 2 days off of work. So if I was going to be in Missouri stuck in traffic, how long would I be waiting to get back home?
I guess I misunderstood the scope of this because
right, that's exactly where I was.
I talked to my wife. We're in the like, for those of you familiar with Columbus, southwest-ish side of Columbus in Hilliard. Okay, so apparently we're on like the line here of this thing being the total eclipse. So if we go like out toward Plain City, which is a little. Like, you know, northwest of here, you could probably be perfect. But my hometown of Marion, just north of Columbus, really in the pathway here. So I'm like, yeah, we'll hop in the car on Monday. We'll drive up in the morning. She's like, my wife is like, no, we cannot drive. We're talking about a ridiculous amount of car. And I'm like, are you talking like a post-apocalyptic highway right now? Like, what are you talking about?
Everybody's trying to get away from the coast.
Exactly. And I'm talking to my mom and she's like, we're expecting 100,000 people to come into America. I said, do you know how many 100,000 people is? Like, what are you like? I guess I need to see it to believe it. I cannot fathom this many people coming through and doing this whole operation. But again, I could be wrong. I could be totally misjudging the whole thing. I think we're just going to stay here at this point. It's not even worth the stress of any of it because we're close enough that it'll probably be fine. But like, I don't know, man. Miscalculated apparently this traffic that is going to be, you know, day after tomorrow type of traffic from the cinema. So
yeah, so the thing that I kind of landed on was you really need to be there a day or two ahead, and you need to be there a day or two after, so that you're not caught in anything. So you kind of need to be in a place and not move. And I just don't have the schedule flexibility to make that work right now. So and also, I mean, last I saw, the weather looks like it's going to be mostly cloudy the entire time that this thing is happening across the United States. So I hope that's not the case. I hope people get to see it. But the only thing worse than getting stuck in traffic is getting stuck in traffic after looking at a cloudy eclipse for 5 minutes.
Hot take. Is it that cool? Like, is it
everybody that I have talked to that has been in totality says it is absolutely worth seeing.
Okay. Because I'm thinking to myself, like, it's a couple minutes, 3 minutes when it's in totality or whatever. Like, is it that cool?
Everybody that I've talked to says
it. My scope of experienced, you know, eclipse people, very small. I can count on my left hand.
I mean, do you remember the one from 17?
I have no recollection. Okay. I don't know. It doesn't even register. I was asking Kelby, I said, like, how rare is this event we're talking about? Yeah, she's like, well, there was one in 2017. There's going to be one again in like 2044. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, is it rare for like just Ohio? That's where we got to the rare 2099 deal. Yes, so, it is, all right.
Yeah.
I'm interested. My interest is peaked, as they say. But I miscalculated this whole thing.
My gut tells me that everybody is overhyping how much it's going to be because I think everybody was caught off guard by how much it was for the last one. And so it actually will be okay. But the downside risk of being stuck in traffic, because people were talking about gas stations running out of gas. And so it's like, okay, so if I'm in Western Tennessee, 6 hours from my home, and I don't have gas and I have no way to get to work, like, what is that? What does my week look like after that? Right. Like, I'm trying to put together what the fallout from that is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, I guess I'll just stay here and be content with 90% of it being eclipsed rather than the full 100.
Yeah. Like when my mom told me she's expecting 100,000, they're expecting 100,000 people.
It's like a college football game.
I almost spit my drink up. I said, what is Warren G. Harding giving a speech on his on his porch again? Like, what's happening here, man? So,
right.
Listen, I could be the people of Marion could have this nailed down and they're expecting to feel like the city's booming again. But I don't know. When I see it, when I look out on 270, which is not too far away, the outer belt of Columbus from here, I'll maybe cruise down near it and see what it looks like. Maybe I'm really wrong about this, but I don't know, but it's going to be crazy in Cleveland. If you guys are up near Cleveland, a lot of you that listen to this, you're talking about people leaving from a college championship game who maybe stayed the night there celebrating South Carolina. Shout out to them. Big win. And then you have the opening day, people coming into town on top of all of the Eclipsians.
Yeah.
What are we calling them?
Eclippers.
The Eclippers. So listen. It's got a chance to be chaotic up in Cleveland. Stay safe. That's our suggestion.
Looking back on it, if I had planned this from 6 months ago, the plan absolutely would have been go to Cleveland for the weekend, get in on Friday, stay till Tuesday or Wednesday, go to a Guardians game or two, maybe, you know, check out some of the women's Final Four if that ticket was even remotely affordable, which I don't think it was. But you could have made a whole weekend out of it. That was the thing to do, but I did not prepare for that. It's also tough this time of year, right? Because an April eclipse is going to involve a lot more clouds than the last one was in August. So that's going to be sunny skies for everybody. So I'm hoping for good weather for everybody, you know, and that the traffic is friendly.
Yeah, big bummer to be like, we have this very rare once-in-a-lifetime thing, and oh, there's just a bunch of clouds covering it.
Just a low cloud deck, yeah.
That's a bit of a problem. It is supposed to be warm. It's low 70s, which is rare lately. So anyway, fingers crossed. Hopefully you all enjoy it however you consume the eclipse, and we have met our quota of about 7 minutes of eclipse talk. So
we got to break it down from a Browns angle too, right?
Like, I mean, which player on the Browns do you think is the most excited? Like, from the personality matchup, like, who do you think is the most excited about this sort of thing? Like, is there a guy who's big into the astrology stuff here? Like,
yeah, that's a good question.
I'm thinking Njoku's probably into it like crazy. I could see him being like, I got to get back to Cleveland for this event. Mm-hmm. Maybe Deshaun stuck around. Did the Philly cheesesteak operation?
I saw he was courtside for the Clippers game today.
Okay, so I was wrong about that. Yeah. But
very quickly out of town.
In and out. That man did a podcast and left. You know, I mean, Miles is a Cleveland, got a lot of, you know, sticks around Cleveland. Maybe he's into it. They could see that.
I'm going to go with the punter because I feel like specialists are always like a little bit more. They've got more time on their hands.
Hell, Jamie Gillen might just come back.
Right.
He might be into it.
Bohorquez and Gillen are going to do some sort of eclipse party.
Link up and get together.
Yeah.
Who was the old, the Kajust, the old rock guy?
He's into it for sure. Devin Kajust. Yes.
Yeah, there you go. Yes,
good call.
What we want to talk about today that is actually football related is this idea we have. Always love to give shout outs to people who give podcast topic ideas. Some of you give those, and I'm not perfect about remembering them and stuff. I apologize. Way to get my attention is to go to the OBR website and fire over a DM. It always stands out. Can't miss them. A young user named Phoebe Monster. Shout out to Phoebe Monster. That's the name. You know, could be many things. Could be a huge Friends fan. Could be many things. Could have a youngster named Phoebe. Gave a great idea, which is that we talk often about the Browns. I think, Andrew, you laid this out pretty well, maybe last week, week before, that they have 53 NFL players in a way that they have not had all the time in the last, say, decade. And drafting guys this year is, you know, they're going to push some real NFL quality type players off of the roster by drafting certain positions and saying this guy's a locked in part of the roster. So the question he's asking is basically going to quickly look at the positions and then tell us if they draft a guy there, is it pushing somebody off the roster or can they make like a flexibility in the numbers to make it work? Right. That's the question, because some positions, as we're going to go through real quick here, pretty stocked up, man, pretty stocked up. So let's do it real quick, Andrew. So if the, and I want to point to, and I'll link this in the description of the pod. We always give a shout out to our guy, Jack Duffin, who seems to go through almost every thought process around the roster. I've never seen somebody, and Jack knows this because we've told him, into predicting decisions that maybe 1% of the fan base cares about right now. And that's okay, because that's why we have Jack, and that's the point of what he's doing. He's very detailed. So he put together a list of players he thinks that would be off of the 53-man roster if the Browns draft a player relatively early. I don't think they're going to cut pick 156, Andrew, but if the guy is a clunker, it's not out of the possibility if they have somebody they really like and don't want to let go at the end of a position. So like we're thinking 54, 85 are in there. 156, probably like 80%. The 200s are like, you got to get a spot. You got to earn your job. So that's where I'm at with it. Do you have any disagreement with that?
No, I think that's right. And I think it's notable that they are sitting at this place, what, 3 weeks before the draft? We're coming into the 3 week marker. Mm-hmm. Without many picks, right? Five picks. I think there was some assumption at some point when they made the Jerry Jeudy trade, maybe they make a Newsome trade to try and recoup some of those assets. That has not materialized. There's mm-hmm. nothing to say that it can't happen by day two of the draft, but it hasn't yet. Five picks, as you said, two of them outside of the 200s. It kind of tells you that they don't need a ton of space. They really need for sure three spots, I think. And then those last two are bubble guys from the day they're drafted. I think with where the Browns are in their development arc, I think that's fair to say.
Okay, good stuff. Let's go through it quickly. Quarterback, if they were to take a quarterback, they have had some guys in, like we saw Michael Pratt visited the Tulane kid over the week. We know they've had Joe Milton into the building. They've taken some top 30 guys here. Like we were pretty surprised when they took Dorian Thompson-Robinson last year. It's not out of the possibility that if they don't love anybody at 156 and there's a quarterback sitting there like Pratt or Milton and they're like, forget it, we're going to take him. Keep taking swings at this thing. So we're not going to say that it's impossible that they take a quarterback. If they do, you know, I mean, that guy at 156 or whatever, and because I think we would agree they're not taking one at 54 or 85, is fighting with Dorian Thompson. So one of those two is not here at that point. Tyler Huntley, we presume, is outside looking in as it is for the three quarterback situation. But like, I don't know, disagree or agree with that?
I agree with that. I don't see a path to them keeping four quarterbacks on the active roster.
Right.
That feels excessive.
Right.
So then, yeah, I think the logical assumption would be that player is competing with Dorian Thompson-Robinson for the third quarterback job. And I'll just say, Jake, I don't hate that idea. If there's a player that they feel strongly about at 156, I'll even say this is, I think, driven some by kind of just where I feel like the Browns are with this whole thing. If they love a quarterback and say one falls, we've seen this happen. Like talk about Malik Willis 2 years ago, right?
Right.
Now that invoking that name is not going to make people like this idea more.
Right.
But if they feel strongly about a player that is available at 85, I can absolutely get on board with the argument, because the argument essentially is that is your get out of jail free card with the Deshaun Watson contract.
And two, like Dak and Russell will, it's not the craziest thing in the world.
It's not unheard of. Kirk Cousins was a fourth round pick.
Yeah.
Dak was a fourth or a fifth round pick. Right? I mean, it happens. Yeah. Obviously, Brock Purdy's the extreme example, but it solves the quarterback problem for them in a way that nothing else can, period.
I was too quick to roll my eyes at the DTR pick last year. Now, listen, they draft a guy there. Could they have Dorian? Could he flip for a pick? I'm sure you could. You could probably get someone in the preseason. We need a second quarterback or whatever, you know, to get a sixth or seventh round pick for him. Or
what they got for Dobbs last year, you can get something for DTR. He's a more talented player than Josh Dobbs.
So there's, low likelihood here, but it's definitely possible. Running back, if they, we're currently looking at running back, Chubb is going to be probably on the PUP list for a while. So he's going to be, they're probably going to make, Andrew, I would imagine, they can perfectly do the IR thing now without having him take a roster spot, which is probably what they'll do. Jerome Ford, Nyheim Hines, Deontay Foreman, you're keeping three to start. So if you draft a fourth, to me, this feels like a position that if you draft a fourth, I don't know, to me, Andrew, that you have to get rid of someone. You can maybe make the numbers work there. And I'm not too stressed about it. I guess if they had to make a choice, it's probably Foreman, but I have a hard time seeing them let Foreman go.
I agree with that. I think it's more likely that you try and find a way to keep four. I think they could be trying to find a way to keep four even if they don't draft someone, because I don't think that they hate Pierre Strong. I think they traded for him for a reason. He's still on a rookie contract and has a skill set that I still do not think anybody else that they have on the roster has, in terms of that ability to be able to sort of one cut downhill and get up to top speed quickly. His acceleration in the hole is not something shared by Deontay Foreman, Nyheim Hines, or Jerome Ford. So I think there's a chance Strong still makes this roster. I know that maybe sounds crazy, but if Chubb is on PUP, you know you are going to have a running back by committee for sure. So nobody's touching the ball more than 15 times, I don't think.
Right. Good stuff. Wide receiver, we think that they're definitely going to be in the market. You're talking about Moore, Cooper, Judy, Bell, Tillman are your five. So it's a matter of if they're keeping six. Your sixth guys on the roster currently are Prochet, Woods, and Darden. They draft a wide receiver, they're A-OK. That's the sixth guy. There's no doubt.
Plenty of room. Plenty of room.
Tight end is a little more open. You have Njoku, you have Jordan Akins, who I think they want to see it through with Akins. So you're probably looking at Giovanni Ricci, who's kind of the hybrid fullback. But then again, to me, if you maybe only keep three running backs, because Andrew, maybe they, like we said, they put Nick on IR, they don't keep Strong, or maybe they try to sneak Pierre Strong onto the practice squad. It works out. Then you have the ability to keep Ricci as like your hybrid, and then you take a third tight end. So I understand why he would be the name that you would list there like Jack did, but I think you could take a tight end and be comfortable.
I agree. I also think we've had this conversation a little bit around like the mock drafts and how those all lay out. I think what they do at tight end is very interesting because it points so much to what type of offense they're going to run, right? Because if they were to draft like an inline blocking tight end, I'd be a little surprised because it feels like they've moved on from having the desire to be in a lot of 12 personnel in the traditional sense of two Y tight ends, right? I think if we see 12 personnel from them, one of those tight ends is going to be a nominal tight end, a Dalton Kincaid type that can move and catch the ball, which Akins is to a certain extent. But I think we've talked about this. I kind of like the idea of them of adding a move tight end in the later rounds.
Yeah, so somebody to play that H, or that some people call it a U, the utility back, and move around, do different stuff, the Ben Simmons of the world. Like, that's definitely of interest. And I don't think it breaks the roster here in any way if you make that move. Now, offensive tackle, which we are all very inclined to see that they're taking it seriously, both through player visits, both through, and then also through like depth of the draft, like believing at 54 there could be a valuable player there. Obviously, they're keeping the top three, Jack, DeJuan, and Jedrick Wills. They signed Hakeem Adeniji, but he's got some inside out flex, which is a draw. So Jack lists James Hudson, and I think that's fair. I mean, Hudson is the fifth guy as we currently sit here, but that would be a full on, they take a guy in the second or third round there. Hudson would have to like be flirting with trying some guard and beating out Adeniji to play that hybrid role, right?
And I think they would love to give him that challenge, right? Like, I think at where he's at in entering his final year with them, I don't think that there's much concern. And frankly, I don't, you know, I think that they would also probably feel pretty comfortable that if he hits waivers, they could potentially stash him Now, maybe Callahan in Tennessee likes him and wants to bring him along, but
right,
I think there's a good chance James Hudson or Hakeem Adeniji both make it through waivers and then onto the practice squad. So I think those guys, to me, are both guard slash tackle depth and however they stack up. But I think there's not only do I think there's room for tackle, but I think of all the positions we're looking at, it's the one where you can envision the need and the fit for a fourth player being drafted and being that fourth tackle. It just makes a ton of sense.
On the interior, you have a guard, Betonio Teller. We know that. Then it's Michael Dunn. There's like four guys backing up this interior. Dunn, Luke Whippler, Dawson Deaton, and Drew Forbes. I don't take Forbes and Deaton very seriously right now. There's no reason to. So then you have Dunn and Whippler, who are your guys kind of backing up guard and center, with Whippler having some guard experience. And we're both considering if you keep five tackles to go along with your, you know, three starters at the interior, that's 8, 9, and 10 are those guys. So if you're drafting a guard, which very possible here, they're probably competing with Michael Dunn for that role because I think they like Whippler. I mean, I really do. And I think he's a nice steal for them last year. And it's easy for me to see a path to a guard taking Michael Dunn's spot. They like the comfort of Michael Dunn, allowing them to not force anything. You never want to force a guard or center selection. So I think the path here for a guard or center hybrid or whatever to make the roster is very obvious for me, Andrew. And it involves Michael Dunn being left off the roster. That's pretty simple.
And again, another player that I think has every chance to make the practice squad.
I think has he come back to the practice squad before in this stretch? That's what I thought.
Yeah, he's bounced around quite a few times. And, you know, to your point about Luke Whippler, I do think they like him. I also am curious if they feel totally comfortable going into the season with him as the backup center.
They'll tell us. They're going to draft somebody if they do, because they that sweet spot at 156 and the 200s there will leave some interesting guard center candidates. So they're going to tell us pretty quickly, and especially if they move back, which was, we kind of think it's like 60-40. They're going to move back. So, all right, we're going to take a quick break, come back, talk about defense, who bumps off of those spots if the Browns draft somebody. So listen to our sponsors, and then we'll be right back.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
We at the OBR are proud to once again be sponsored by Game Time Ticket Application. It is one of the best on the market, where buying tickets to your favorite events shouldn't feel stressful. And they don't feel stressful. It's a quick and easy process to buy tickets for sports, music, comedy, anything you want for any event near you. Game Time has you covered. They have killer deals all throughout the process, including last minute tickets with the best price guarantee. You can stop stressing over the availability and price of those tickets and just start looking forward to your event. I know that's how it was for us. My wife really wanted some Justin Timberlake concerts for her birthday. I went to Game Time. Easy process. Lets you look at the seating map, figure out where you can sit, have the view from the seats. They showed some flash deals that were available to get the best price, and that price was guaranteed even for event cancellation, job loss protection, all the above. Great seats for the concert. Made me a hero in the household. I'm telling you guys, Game Time is the place for the last minute ticket deals, or even if you're planning way out in advance, they have deals going on all the time. Like I said, those exclusive flash deals for any game you care about, concert you care about, theater experience, whatever. You have that Game Time guarantee, which means you'll get that assurance for the best price available for those tickets. If you find a better seat, better price for less, they'll credit you 110% of the difference there, guys. That's important. So grab your Game Time tickets today. Download the Game Time app, create an account, use the code OBR for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account, redeem the code OBR for $20 off. Download that Game Time app today or go to gametime.co to take advantage of the last minute tickets you can find at the lowest price guaranteed. All right, Andrew, Edge is pretty set, man. We know they're top four. Miles, Za'Darius, Alex Wright, Okoronkwo, the fifth guy, it comes down to one of these guys, which is Isaiah McGuire, Sam Kamara, Lonnie Phelps, Isaiah Thomas. McGuire's last year's fourth round pick, maybe the guy. But if they really love an edge, Andrew, I really think they'd find a way to keep six. Like I think that they would find a way, and that might defy what some people think is logical because they have maybe five defensive tackles that they want to keep here. But like, if they end up selecting one they love over maybe a defensive tackle, I think they'd find a way to make it work. But would I be like super bothered if Isaiah McGuire's left off this roster? And it's like the Curtis Weaver situation, man, where obviously the Dolphins wanted to keep him, but the roster restrictions made that a little difficult. And listen, some of these conversations we're having right now, injuries solve them. And it's like, conversation we had in April is like moot because something happens, whatever,
especially with that ability now to put the guy on the injured reserve,
right,
and bring him back without going through final cuts. So you actually have like two or three spots. Teams are going to use that to hide guys. There's no
that's
doubt.
The way Weaver would have been kept in Miami had that happened. So I just think the Browns are not going to eliminate even in defensive tackle. You know, it's four guys at the top here, and then obviously Siaki Ika, you used one of your premium picks, which is a third rounder, but that is a premium pick for what the Browns have had. So you're talking about five defensive tackles, five edge guys. I just think that like they're going to nothing's stopping them from taking a defense tackle or an edge. I just don't see them being like, we cannot afford to let go of somebody at these spots or find a way to fit them onto the roster somehow. I'm not going to be concerned about that, even though the names that would make the most sense, Hurst or Ika, if a defensive tackle, I think you and I have talked about this before. It would probably be Hurst because of how contracts work and, you know, opportunity cost investment stuff. And at edge, it would probably be McGuire. And if something were heinous were to happen there where they had to let go of Ika or McGuire because they found some talented guy and they draft Mike Hall, whatever.
Right. Yeah.
I wouldn't lose any sleep. I'd be okay.
Yeah. I mean, I think like big picture, as much as this stuff is about the contract stuff, it's also just about like, I think over the past few years, the Browns having a competitive roster, it has created this impression amongst Browns fans that, oh, if that guy gets cut, he's definitely getting claimed. And we say that every year, and then we go through cuts at the end of August, beginning of September, and guys that you think are definitely going to end up on another roster don't get claimed. Because the reality is, you have to be in a certain sort of desperate spot to be – think back to where the Browns were the first years of the Dorsey era and how active he was adding players after final cuts. That's because the roster was so barren that other teams' 54th, 55th guys were better than your 45th guy or whatever. Like it was apples and oranges. But the reality is that most NFL teams prefer their own guys. And because of the expanded practice squads, they intend to keep their own guys. And so if you pull somebody over on waivers, you're pushing somebody off the end of your roster, and teams are less likely to do that than they have been historically. So I think if you talk about a player like Isaiah McGuire, even to a certain extent, a player like Siaki Ika, I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that they make it through waivers and end up on the practice squad.
Yeah.
I just don't think that those are guys that other teams are saying, oh, that's a difference maker. We need to change our roster philosophy to make room for them.
Yeah, the only way that becomes super likely is if you had, say, made a change at coordinator or something and they were around when that player was drafted or had a heavy hand in that decision, something like that. And that's just not really the case with either of those guys. So, again, do I think that decision, if they let go of McGuire, would it be great? No, I mean, you don't want to lose a fourth-round pick a year later, but is that going to change anybody's season or anybody's outcome? It's pretty damn unlikely. And, like, think about the guys that the Browns have let go and have been claimed by other teams. How many of those have ended up ultimately mattering that much? Like Dontrell Hilliard, maybe a little bit, like, I can't think of many that have like, man, I can't believe they let that guy, they cut him. He got out of here and he mattered somewhere else significantly. It's just rare.
I mean, there's a, like a 5% chance that we're both forgetting somebody incredibly important.
I mean, did they cut Poyer? I can't remember if they just flat cut him. I think
he was a free agent.
I can't remember.
To do with coming back to Cleveland. Yeah, but that's going way back into the archives.
Yeah, so. I'm not. I mean, I guess they cap casualtied Hayden, but that's different. Right? That's really different. We're talking about
a philosophical decision. Yeah, you're talking about the 54th guy, the last guy cut, ending up going someplace else and having a good career. We're not pulling any of those names right now. We can go back through 10 years of our lads' depth charts, but I think the point is pretty solid that like that typically is not how players in the NFL like find their next start in their career.
Right. Okay, linebacker, I would say there's five right now. JOK, Jordan Hicks, Devin Bush, Tony Fields, and Mahmoud Diabate. Nothing stopping me from taking a linebacker. And I mean, who are you bumping off there? Like probably Devin Bush, or if they don't feel as great about Diabate anymore. And I like Diabate just fine, but there's not a single player there telling me, man, we'll just have too many linebackers. I think that's a spot that's quite obvious. And made the point the other day on social that like people are talking about all these guys at 54 and it's usually tackle, wide receiver, stuff like that. I'm like, man, you need to consider a linebacker because the talent mesh there is pretty obvious and a seamless way to get on the field if you're good enough. So I don't know if you have any protest to those names or like Charlie Thomas, because Jack mentions Charlie Thomas. I don't really consider Charlie Thomas to be a leader on the make the 53 man roster.
I mean, when I look at the 53 the full depth chart, I see two players that have a spot locked up, JOK and Jordan Hicks.
Right.
Two.
Right.
There's other players that I like. I like Charlie Thomas and Diabate. I do. I like Tony Fields. I like the upside swing they took on Devin Bush. But to kind of use the same language you've been using all night, I'm not losing a wink of sleep over any of those guys other than the top two getting cut. It's just not even going to cross my mind to worry about that. So and from that perspective, if you've got two guys that you feel like need to be on this roster next year, that's a great spot to add somebody in the draft, especially if the value is really strong.
Yeah, I think we're kind of answering this so far, like wide receiver, tight end, and tackle. We kind of identified as places that make obvious sense. I mean, guard too, right? But the defensive line gets a little trickier, but it's not stopping you. But linebacker is a very clear path spot. Corner is, as we still sit here on April 7th, there has been no trade with, you know, the situation around Greg Newsome. So we're left to think at this point that he's going to be on the roster. So you're talking about four deep at corner. If you include Cam Mitchell in that group, you know, the fifth corner is Khalif Olasi or Justin Hardy. Like if they keep six, I would imagine they keep six because they're keeping Hardy for specials is my guess right now. You don't want to lock anything into being like a stone cold lock here. But if you, I think Jack points here to Khalif Olasi, who was on the roster last year. I think that that's the guy that would be let go. I mean, that's the guy that feels like his spot is least among these six, Andrew, locked up. I mean, those first five, because I consider Hardy like, I mean, he's a pretty serious signing for their special teams core. So it's not to say you can't cut him if you're not getting what you expected out of him, but they're focusing on his Cleveland story and all that stuff. And Stefanski's wearing a Glenville Tarblooder sweatshirt. Like they're embracing that. I think they really like him. So I consider those five guys like pretty heavy leans into the roster. And then it's like, if they draft a guy, it's Halasi or that player that they draft to me. I don't know what you think.
I agree with that. I think there's a chance they keep six and they don't draft anybody. They cut Halasi and they keep Tony Brown and Justin Hardy.
It's possible. I mean,
they've shown that they're not afraid to put a special teams player in at cornerback. I mean, the Mike Ford experience was that in a nutshell. So did they feel good enough about their depth up top with the top four that you mentioned that five and six can both be special teams aces because they're trying to win the new kickoff return war, right? Like,
right.
I don't think that's crazy that Brown and Hardy are your gunners and they're locks to make the roster because they're both really good at that.
Agreed.
Makes sense to me.
Safety's the least likely spot they draft on the roster because they're I don't know. I mean, I certainly understand if they're not as high on D'Anthony Bell, you know, with the D'Anthony Bell made the Joe Woods defense first and then obviously still made Schwartz defense as well. These guys played, there's five guys here. And I think that like spending another pick, does that ultimately burn the advantage you found in some of these UDFAs and the cheap prices there? I'm never saying never with anything Browns draft, but to me, if I'm looking at this roster, like I have to be in love. It's not a good safety draft period, but I got to be in love with a guy like his. We're up at 85 and we got an early second grade on this side, this guy. We just would be so dumb to pass on him. But this continues to be between Delpit, Thornhill. You know, they brought McLeod back for another year, so that's kind of whatever. But you have the two young players, D'Anthony Bell and Ronnie Hickman, who played meaningful games, really meaningful minutes for you last year, well, as your depth pieces. I'm certainly saying they're not forcing anything. We're saying they're not forcing anything anywhere, but that's got to be the position that they're like, we got to just be like head over heels for a player, you know?
I agree with you. I don't want to be down on the whole Ronnie Hickman thing, but I do think I think he's a fine depth player, but I don't think he's like a long-term starting caliber player. So if they were, to your point, if they were in a position at 85 to pick a player that they thought is going to, has that upside, would they prefer to make room for that player? Right? Yeah, I can see it. Just because Thornhill is probably on the roster for one more year this coming season. And so if you felt like you had a long-term partner to lock in with Delpit, I can see the sense of it. Now, I think we all hope Hickman becomes that player, but I think there were questions, you know. He's a UDFA, you know, he's going to have mistakes, but I'm just saying, I don't think it's a sure thing that he's going to work out and be a contributing player long-term in the NFL.
Yeah. There's two ways to look at that. UDFA had a hot streak. Don't really know. There's also the side of like, this is how he performed his first exposure to the NFL. I would be very intrigued by how the front office feels about both of those guys, both of those UDFAs. Are they in love with them, you know, to the point that they're, you know, ignoring the position entirely? I know that they definitely like the other Ohio State kid through camp and tried to keep him, you know, Tanner McAllister, maybe. Is that who it was? I can't remember.
Yeah, that's who it is. Yeah, and he ended up somewhere else this offseason.
Yeah, they just really seem to like the path of these UDFA guys. And yeah, I guess what I'm getting at is weak class mixed with like a position that has capable guys. Not saying that, you know, Hickman is your long-term answer or Bell is your long-term answer here, but it feels to me like if someone said, hey Jake, put odds on picks, like the first three selections, safety would probably just be at the bottom of the odds. Not that, and it's definitely not a zero, right? You know, where some other teams maybe have a zero next to some position because they just flat out can't add. I think the Browns could take a safety, but I'd have to put it at the bottom of that list.
I don't disagree, but I think that there's still a space on this roster in my mind for who's going to be the long-term free safety, because I don't think it's Juan Thornhill.
No, I don't either. At least weigh the first year win. If he has a really great second year, they'll keep him around for the third year of that contract. They do have a way out of it, which you mentioned. So that's certainly possible. And there's obviously room for Hickman to establish himself more, become even better. Maybe that's the guy, or he takes a step back. The UDFA stuff's a bit unpredictable at times. Maybe the Browns put in a plethora of different angles and coverages and more split safety stuff next year, and he's not quite as competent as he was playing that center field with less responsibility type stuff, right? I think we saw as they got really confused with what Houston was doing that they put the split safety stuff into action a little bit more, and there were some moments where Ronnie Hickman looked a little bit on an island with how am I supposed to handle this route, this combo. Saw that Nico Collins run right by him scenario, right? So it's not a sure thing. It's a promising group, not a sure thing. But anyway, this is fun. That's the list. That's the setup. We don't think they're quite clearly not going to draft anybody in the specialist department. Thank God. But there's pretty much what we're laying out to you is that, you know, they have a really good 53, but most of these positions, you can find a way to fit a pick into it, right? You can kind of rank them at the top of that and bottom of that by easiest path to clearing a spot. I think we've done that here, but you know, Andrew, it's a good roster. And if you do draft a guy at most of these positions, you are going to see somebody who could make a 53B gone, right? Does that mean that they're going to go change the future of the Tennessee Titans roster or Arizona Cardinals roster if they're claimed? No. But I do think there's a chance some of these guys, some, can get claimed and play somewhere else.
I think that's true. I think that's definitely true. I think the Browns do have a talented roster. When we do exercises like this and you go through position by position, I think the thing that jumps out to me, Jake, is that I think Andrew Berry does deserve credit for having doing consistently year in, year out, a very good job of building the roster in such a way that there aren't any holes. The question, and I think this is absolutely a topic for another show, not for now, but the question that I come back to is, and it's part of it is a symptom of not having a first round pick 3 years in a row and trading out of the second in two of those years as well so far. How many blue chip, true difference making players do the Browns have? And when you start to look at them in terms of the conversation that we had last week with the power rankings and how you stack them up against other teams, obviously their depth is an asset. And last year they dealt with all those injuries and it really came in handy. I think a conversation for us to have at some point is like, where do they rank in the division, in the conference, whatever, in terms of real blue chip difference makers?
Yeah, I used to do a roster quality AFC North article. Maybe that's something that we update. We talk about it. I know somebody on social Twitter put something out on like ranking blue chippers per team and stuff like that. I think there was a way they looked at that. We'll try to find it. That's a good conversation to have to just see where they're at. So we'll continue to look at the roster. We'll have a live show tomorrow night if the good Lord allows us to after the Eclipse Mania tomorrow. So we will do that at 7 o'clock. If you want to join in, Andrew and I will mock draft it up. Maybe try to have a guest on for that mock draft and have three people rolling through a draft and talk through some more names. So check that out if you're into it. That'll be up. If you can't make the live show at 7 o'clock, obviously will be your podcast for the next day with plenty of items there to check out and listen to. So again, if you want to see Jack's list, I will post that Twitter link in the description of this pod. Otherwise, guys, thanks for hanging out, making this a part of your Monday. Whatever you do for the Eclipse here, stay safe. And we appreciate you guys taking time, making it a part of your day. Rate and review the podcast if you can, as we always say, and join the OBR community. I think it's worth your time to take part in that and join the website, guys. So do that for us if you can. Appreciate you once again. Be well. Have a fantastic Monday. Go Browns.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.